The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Has dawned and Augie starts it off from New Orleans. Hello, Augie.
Hey, Paul, I know we've talked about this before, about you being punked on the show, but in my opinion, there is no doubt that that was Larry's son. How about you?
I feel relatively convinced it was, yes.
I think if he put Larry on the line, you couldn't get a coherent statement out of either of them. What do you think?
The thing that's most disturbing, Augie, is that the son made the father sound like Albert Einstein.
I thought I was the only one, but then I'm like, you know, is he putting you on? Is he pulling your leg?
But the only reason I know he wasn't putting us on because he's called a couple of times, and I believe Larry said that he was going to be calling or something. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Hopefully he doesn't call again.
Well, more than that, hopefully he doesn't drive home.
Yeah, I think they live out in the country, so I think we're safe.
Oh, I don't know. Those country roads with a drunk on driving, you know, geez, they get in accidents. You can't recognize which car is which. And then he said Larry was starting up. He said Larry was starting up the lawnmower. I hope it wasn't a riding lawnmower. Get the son's foot off. Yesterday, Paul, you had a conversation with I-Man about air conditioners.
Yes.
Well, guess what? For the last week, my AC has been out. And they're supposedly saying the supply chain problem in the United States is preventing us from getting some kind of board for this Lennox air conditioner that cost an arm and a leg.
Right.
So don't buy a Lennox. They're terrible. This thing's been breaking down. This is the second time in 3 months a guy's been over to fix something. So stay away from Lennox. They're supposed to be great, but they're awful. And yesterday, I think you cut Jim off. Did Jim say a prohibited word?
And listen, we aren't prudes here. There are certain, there is slang words, and then there are certain words that you cannot say. And the new rule, Augie, you understand this? The second, it doesn't matter who you are. If you say something, you're done. It's automatic. I punch the button. And Jim committed that violation last night.
Did that word start with the first word of the first letter of your last name?
No, it wasn't that bad, but it was bad enough that we could not allow it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, anyway, speaking of could not allow, there was a guy who came on not too long ago, and he was talking about bringing Johnny Football back.
Oh, yeah.
And you told him, no, we can't bring Johnny Football back because he went pro. And I don't know, Paul, that would be a great legal case because aren't all of these guys getting paid now to play football,
regardless of how you disguise it? But, Augie, it wasn't to me. I think it would be one thing. You help me. You're the law clerk. Paralegal, but let's say you lost your eligibility because you received money. I think I think you could appeal that, but I don't know I don't think you could appeal your amateur status because you signed a professional contract.
Yeah, I mean, they're no longer going to be amateurs. They're all getting paid
Secondly, Johnny Football would have to get eligible also academically. And can you imagine looking at his transcript?
I was going to say, do you think he's that dumb?
I don't know. He probably would not be the best example to use.
But, Paul, do you not agree that college football is no longer an amateur sport?
No, I do agree with you on that. You tell me how long it would take to get this thing moving, though, is the question.
Well, I think that we're going to be in for – I think the legal gymnastics are going to be as exciting as the actual physical gymnastics in the field when this comes to light. Because I think these guys, they're going to have to file income tax forms. They're going to have to declare this income. And they're not getting income because they're doing commercials. They're getting income because they're doing commercials because they play football at LSU or Texas.
And we're getting way too deep into the legality of it. But if what these players are doing is legal within the, let's say, the state of Louisiana, then I mean, that's what this is. I mean, this is a collection of state laws right now that every one of these players is utilizing to make this money.
Well, what I'm saying is that there's a plethora of potential cases that are going to come out of this, and we're just beginning.
If the right case comes along, and you know how this works, that looks like a winner, then we'll see some action. I mean, I don't know if you heard Michael McCann earlier, but that Supreme Court case last year, Alston, opened the door for a lot more of these. And again, this all takes time. This is not something that happens overnight.
Well, let me ask you this, and I know you've thought about it, and I know it's somewhere in your mind. When you look at the people who are complaining about NIL and the transfer portal, do you believe that in their mind they're considering the allegations of racism and race, the impact of race, on the ability to have a free market of movement of people?
No, and they need to be, because as they go to Congress to lobby, that is where I think they're going to lose.
Yeah, I think that is a huge issue that nobody is talking about, that for whatever side you're on, that is an underlying and so far unstated aspect of both NIL and ability to transfer, ability to move, because we're talking about people who never had the opportunity to make this kind of money, and now they want to restrict them on making this kind of money. And as you said, they're never going to have this opportunity again, because how many of them are go pro? You don't get that many that go pro every year.
It's 1%.
So this is a life-changing opportunity.
100%. Augie, well said and well laid out. We go to Los Angeles. Mike is up next. Hey, Mike.
Afternoon. I'm about the most average and least connected guy, but occasionally I hear some interesting nuggets, and I was sharing that a friend of mine that is in Austin and went to school there was telling me this weekend that the University of Southern California was reaching into Texas and offering seven figures for the Texas freshman All-American wide receiver, and there hasn't been any movement yet. And then secondly, there's a defensive end in the portal, and I believe he's out of TCU, and my friend was sharing that there's a bidding war between UT Austin and Nebraska offering this transfer defensive end $650,000 a year. And then lastly, another interesting, the Pittsburgh wide receiver, I think it's Jordan Addison. I may have his name wrong. He was the Biletnikoff Award winner last year.
That is Addison.
And he was, all but certain going to USC, let's say 10 days ago. But rumor is that Alabama and Georgia have suddenly developed an interest. And so it's kind of TBD to see who the highest bidder. And then Brew McCoy, I'm sure he's always wanted to play at the University of Tennessee, after being at Texas. So I just find it fascinating. Loved your conversation with Bruce Felt.
The case that is the most interesting right now is Addison, because it's gotten a lot of attention, and if he ends up at Alabama, Georgia, or even Texas, where there has been some speculation, or SC, it doesn't really matter. This could be one of those litmus test cases, because he's probably, Caleb Williams was a big time player, but he went with his coach.
As well as Mario Williams.
But this is the first so-called bidding war for a top five-star player.
Yes, absolutely. And then it would be also if a freshman All-American out of Texas that certainly has Quinn Ewers at quarterback now and Sarkisi in year two decides to leave Texas for USC.
No, that would be a big deal.
So, yeah. So I just wanted to talk. Thank you for having Bruce.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating. Listen, for those who get upset about this, and I understand a lot of you are getting very angry, we have never been through anything like this before. And, you know, this is May. This is when we are normally exhaling a little bit and counting down to the college football season, but not this year. I-Man is up next.
Well, good afternoon there, Paul Feinbaum.
Can you help Augie with his air conditioner?
Oh, I certainly could. But, you know, some of these brands out there have built-in problems. And, you know, during the pandemic, and you know, we discussed that. We tried to get that dumbass up in Ohio to understand that wood and, you know, appliances. He was harping on the refrigerator. All the plants across the world shut down. And it was bigger overseas than it was here. And it's hard to get circuit boards and parts that are reliable. This has been a tough time. And I tell you, equipment is going through the roof. Freon is going through the roof. Prices of everything are just about doubling. And, you know, it's a lot to do with the pandemic. And I'm sure so much more to do with greed. I mean, what was it? Exxon, I believe, just said they had like an $8 billion profit during tough times. Tough times, Paul. You know, oil is hard to get. It's hard to get. Pandemic. Everybody's using the pandemic for an excuse, but it's making jobs all across the country pretty tough. And I feel Augie's pain. And I will say this about equipment: there's not one brand of equipment better than the other. Just it's all new in the box is all it is. And
you know,
in
I
most cases,
it is, it's not the kind of air conditioner. It's the heating and air engineer that installs it. That's the most important thing.
Absolutely. That's what you're buying. You're buying an installer, a parts house.
I think a guy that looks like Charles Manson. That's my guy.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, you know, everybody don't look like Sears in their uniforms anymore. And I take that as a compliment. Because
the guy from Sears and Roebuck showed up in that uniform to put in my 12-inch black and white TV.
Right, yeah. And is that nice? Isn't that real nice? You know, Paul, and I take that as a compliment.
Can I get you some fresh lemonade sugar?
Yeah, you know, I take that as a compliment. Now, most people would be offended.
The milkman, don't you?
Absolutely. And the milkman and the eggman and the insurance man and the mailman, they all got around pretty well, too, didn't they? But that's another story for another day. But most people would take that as an insult, and they'd start cussing you and talking about the good old days. Then they'd telling you how they got hurt when they was a kid, and then cussing and rambling.
Remember when this was the good old days? Remember when this was a good show?
These are the good old days. Now, because some people can't contain themselves and they have no vocabulary, no couth about them, that's not your fault. That's not my fault. We thought that some of these sapient callers actually had a vocabulary. We didn't know they were poor, pitiful excuses for hundreds of years, and it's a good thing the guy didn't go out and have kids, and I'm glad the doctor stopped all that nonsense early in his career. But you know, how many people can you blame, Paul? And as long as he's been on this show, and we all heard George Carlin years ago, there's seven words you can't say. I don't know why you can't say them. I don't know why they're bad words. Kind of cute, some of them, but you can't say them. And as long as that sapient guy has been on, you know, the one that's well established, I'm so established. I thought that was a remarkable comment. I'm established. But he's established on his show, and he has no vocabulary, and then he loses it to the point you just have to throw him off the ship. You have to make him walk the plank. You say, get out of here, you scumbag trash. I mean, I saw the way you was looking. I saw the way you was feeling. You just wanted to push him out into traffic, but you couldn't do it because you're such a good man. But how does a guy like that, who's been on this program, who's so sapient, and he's established, that's a good word, established, how does he lose it like that and can't contain himself to any form of decency? But then he wants to call in, he wants to talk to the Pope, he wants to talk to the President, he wants to tell you what's right, what's wrong, who's going to hell, who's not. How can somebody so well established in so many different forms and stretches of the imagination if this guy was so good athletically, Paul, and he got hurt, you know, his mama underhand pitched to him and hit him on the arm, why didn't he go into coaching? Why didn't he become a role model and share that wisdom and all that athletic ability? You know why? Because he's a piece of crap liar. Have a good day.
He knew how to drop the mic at the end, didn't he? We'll take a short break. We are nowhere near the end of this program.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Larry, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. And Augie, to tell you something, if you were standing in front of me, you'd be hurting right now. My son called in having a good time. He wasn't drinking. He's doing a little of the other, but he's having fun. He wanted to call in.
What do you
mean
doing a little of the other?
No, he wasn't, but you can say what you want.
Well, what was he doing, Larry?
I ain't going to tell you on there.
So he wasn't drinking, but he was doing something. Is that correct?
I am drunker than hell.
The what?
So you said he wasn't drinking, but he was doing something.
Yeah, a little left-handed doobie. So what?
So your son, Larry Jr., was smoking a joint while he was talking to me.
Yeah, I do too.
You smoke pot?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to be in Alabama next week. Can you shoot me over your address?
No.
I want a picture of Larry. Describe the instruments that you use to smoke pot.
I don't smoke no damn weed, Paul. You know better than that.
Because I was going to hook you up with Iman.
Yeah, but I know it is.
You guys can have a Doobie Brothers concert.
If you don't want him calling back, I know he'll straighten up and call back. But if you don't want him to, I won't call back.
No. I was kidding him. I was just joking. You know me, Larry. Don't take me seriously, okay?
Okay. But Augie, I didn't appreciate his smart-ass remark.
Well, you're welcome to do whatever you want to Augie. I can't defend Augie.
No, he's just like I told him. He wear that collar real tight. Because people like that condemn other people and go after them. You know, that's first time calling. He was all nervous. And, yeah,
well,
I understand.
I kind of felt bad for him. That your son is alive and well and doobying his way through life.
Yeah, he lives with me, brother. I take care of my boy.
Do you have any other children?
No, I have my daughter passed away. You know
that's
that.
That's right. I remember that. I do remember that. That was tough. I remember talking about that.
That was a tough road, though, for me and the family.
Was he your youngest son or was your daughter younger?
My daughter was the youngest.
Okay.
I mean, my daughter was the oldest. I'm sorry. He's the youngest. Okay. Yeah, she got a... kill of fentanyl.
Yeah, no, I remember that. That was terrible.
Yeah, that's tough. When the prosecutor from the Montevallo Police Department, when he prosecuted, we got to stop that stuff. But anyways,
get back to today. Well, Larry, you tell your young son that he's welcome here any time. William in Maryville. How are you, William?
Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Paul, did I lose you?
No, you didn't. Not yet.
You know, Paul, you've got some great callers, you know, some very sincere down-to-earth people like Larry. And you know, I hate to call and talk about people because it's a waste of my time and your time and your listeners' time. But, you know, Jim reminds me of Danny DeVito in some of those courtroom movies he did without the humor, when he's jumping up and down with the briefcase and looking at the judge and saying, "Your Honor, I got the proof in the briefcase," but he never opens the briefcase. And, you know, I'd like to, because I think Jim has long lost his welcome, and I'd like to challenge Jim, if you'll give him a few minutes, not being interrupted, to call in and not mention another caller's name, not talk about himself, and not talk about you, and call in for a couple of minutes and talk about sports. Talk about the NIL, talk about the transfer portal, talk about his vast knowledge, and show us his vast knowledge. And if he can't do that, his shtick of yelling and screaming is getting real old with me and with a lot of your listeners, because we're frankly just tired of hearing it, Paul.
Appreciate that, William. Thank you very, very much. Let's check in with Joe, who is up next. Hello, Joe.
Roll Tide, roll, Paul Feinbaum. And you know what? I'm not smoking a doobie. I give that, you know, I smoked some back in the 80s, but, yeah. You know, I gave all that up back years ago.
Me too.
But I can understand
first time
I
had to take a drug test.
Right, but I can understand why Larry's son would be nervous. I mean, because, can you imagine being Larry's son? I mean, I would have been on pins and needles my whole life. I mean, I like Larry, but you're talking about somebody who used to be a cop and used to slam the brakes just for whoever's in the back to hit your face on the case. I mean, can you imagine that raising you? I'd smoke dope too, Paul. I'd be smoking doobies. You know, left and right, if that was the case.
Well, yeah, listen, I don't – I mean, I know it's legal some places. I don't think it's – is it legal in Alabama yet?
No.
Okay.
Still illegal. But, you know, that ain't the biggest problem we got in Alabama. You know this mess stuff coming out now. That's the biggest problem right there. Because
what's that?
These kids nowadays are doing this.
What are we talking about here?
They're doing – yeah, they're doing this poison now. These kids are – they, you know, at least Larry's son, if that's all he's doing, just smoking him a little bit of weed, that's cool. Because even if he has a wreck, he ain't going to be doing more than 20 miles an hour.
No, he's okay. Well, Joe, thank you very much. Jim is up next.
Hello.
Hello, Jim.
I didn't hear you. You don't sound very loud. Well, I mean, what happened to your good buddy, the lawyer? What happened to him? He went away.
Lawyer William?
Yeah, you know, W-I-L-L-I-L-L, I emphasize. What happened to him?
What do you mean? We moved on to the next call.
He was talking about you and wanted to hear something about. I heard what he said.
Well,
you heard what he said.
Then
where'd he go?
He doesn't like you, and this show should move on from you. That's what he said.
Well, I don't care what he says, and I don't think you care what he says. And here's the reason I called. I could go into a detail about why I don't talk sports, but you know why I don't. I want you to describe to your buddy William why I don't talk sports anymore.
Well, I remember.
Because I know you know.
You are just far more interested in other things and care about.
No, that's not it. That's not the reason at all.
Well, refresh my memory.
That's not the reason at all. Well, I'll just tell you, my Lord and Savior let me know he didn't want me talking about it anymore. And I want to ask you, Paul, before I stop talking about it, do you have anybody on the show?
I'm not playing games here because we're talking about something far more serious than the show, but. You said that
I said basically that God let me know he doesn't want me talking about sports anymore, and I was scared. I obey him. That's all I can tell you.
And you
does that make any sense?
I mean, it's a weird question here. It's very serious what you just said.
Well, it's very true, Paul. It's just that simple. It's true.
And he let you know you should be talking.
Exactly,
about
he let me know that. Okay. You think? Let me ask you something. You ever read the scripture? You think you know the scripture? You ever read the scripture?
I've never said that, Jim. I've never said I know the scripture.
Let me make my point.
But I'm not bragging about
it. Well, I'm just going to make my. There is in the scripture. Okay. It is in the scripture where he said, "My sheep hear my voice." You think that's just you think that's not exactly real? Reality? I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, see, you're asking me to respond to something that I have. I mean,
asked you simply, do you believe that God speaks to his sheep?
Yes, I do.
Well, I'm one of them. And he spoke to me. Believe it or not, as fiery as I am, Paul, I am one of them. And he spoke that to me. Now, I want to ask you this. So I really want to ask you this. Before I stop talking sports, have you had any guests on here? Not even guests. Have you ever had any caller that knows more about sports and that talked it better than I did? I want the honest truth from you.
No.
Then why don't you tell a lawyer, whatever you want to call him, why don't you tell him that? Because he's not as compelling as I am about anything. He's like your monkey eye man. All he wants to do is condemn somebody for what they need to do in his opinion. And I am still the best caller on this show, in my opinion.
Okay, we'll leave it
there. Without talking sports.
Thank you very much, Jim. We're up against the break. We're about 5 minutes over the break, but that's okay. We're not done yet. We still have 30 minutes to go. We hope you'll stick around. Chris Burke will join us next.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. We got a big baseball game coming up in a few minutes. Tennessee and Kentucky, and Chris Burke joining us. And Chris, let's state the obvious about Tennessee. They're in good shape 2 weeks before, 3 weeks before the tournament. But what makes this team so great?
Well, I think the easy answer would be the offense, just because, you know, they're hitting a bunch of home runs, just set the school record for home runs, have a chance to set the all-time BB core, kind of the new era that we're living in record. But it's the pitching to me. And in a year where there's a bunch of injuries with the pitching, Tennessee's pitching's not only solid, it's electric. They got a bunch of guys that are going to pitch in the big leagues one day. So much so that they're trying to figure out how to get kids that are probably first-round picks innings. Like Blade Tidwell was hurt. He was supposed to be their ace. Now he's healthy. Chase Dolander's coming back. Like it's first world problems, but they're, you know, that's kind of the tension demanded for Tony Vitello. While most skippers are trying to figure out who to give the ball to, he's trying to figure out how to manage innings between guys that would be pitching number one for most teams in the league.
And as we, you know, turn the corner toward the tournament, you're getting some strange series. You got one this weekend with Florida and Mississippi State that there is a tremendous amount on the line, and not the kind of things that we would normally be thinking about.
No, not with two national programs like Florida and Mississippi State. I think Mississippi State is probably the biggest loser on the injury front this year. Landon Sims, who was their all-everything closer last year, he was going to be their Friday night starter. He blows out, and Landon Sims is not just a great pitcher, because he is that, but he's kind of a galvanizing force. He's really the alpha male in the room. And so when he's not taking the ball, it not only hurts your team on the field, but there's a difference about that club. And then also, I think, you know, you lose Tanner Allen and Rowdy Jordan, who are just, you know, two of the best college baseball players the league has seen in a while, in a bigger sense than, again, just their numbers. So Mississippi State's struggling. They're struggling bad. And Florida, who's got a great RPI, like they look good to be a good at-large pick. I mean, they're 8-13 in the conference. They're five games under. So something's got to give there in that series. That's two heavyweights duking it out, trying just to scratch and claw their way in the tournament.
So right now, I mean, we know Arkansas is going to be there at the end. But beyond those two, I mean, and there is a separation, I'm sure. I mean, there's a separation between Tennessee and everyone.
Yeah.
But Arkansas is certainly holding up its part of the deal. With all the schools that were number one in the country when the season began, after that, who – I mean, there are going to be a lot of tournament teams, but who's in a position for super regionals and the things that really matter?
I think what's interesting is you got Auburn and A&M right there in the West. That Auburn was picked last in the preseason in the West, and then, of course, A&M, you've got Jim Schlossnagel taking over the program that won 9 games last year in the conference, and they've already 12 or 13 conference wins as we talk today. So both of those teams, Auburn and Arkansas, kind of the premier matchup for the weekend. If Auburn comes out of that, probably even at 1-2, Paul, but certainly if they win that series, Auburn's going to be a top 8, top 16, that's a slam dunk. Like you said, Arkansas is a slam dunk. But A&M's probably the most interesting story just because of the transfers that they – and, again, we live in this transfer portal world. Like, they brought in transfers that haven't just helped. They've been stars. And at different points in the year, they've hit transfers 1, 2, 3, 4 in their order. And their number two starters a transfer, and their best relievers a transfer. So Jim Schlossnagel really managed that well. And talking to him, he said, not only did we get great players, but these kids are rock solid dudes. And so they've easily fit into the culture and the chemistry, and that's why you see A&M playing so well.
Yeah, he came over from, what, TCU?
Yep.
I remember meeting him. We were out there, and he did have an amazing resume. Chris, beyond that, and I don't want to diminish Tennessee, but everyone's obsessing over them. Arkansas, obviously, you mentioned Auburn and A&M and Tennessee. Is there anyone else that
– LSU's interesting to me, Paul. They've pitched way better than people thought they would. They have Jacob Berry, who is, you know, probably going to be the highest position player drafted from the league, and he has been a star. Like, you talk about just a rock-solid star. He's not going to win Player of the Year, but he's been as good as advertised. Dylan Cruz and Trey Morgan, and they got this kid Stevenson and Pearson, like a couple young kids that have made some moves. So I think LSU, I think they got a chance to host, and we all know if they host, they got a real good chance to win. Right. Very few people go into the box and walk out of there. So LSU's kind of maybe on the backside of attention, but I think they're definitely dangerous to get to Omaha.
Chris Burke, as we are just knocking on the door of the tournament at the end of the month in Hoover, and then the NCAAs, and it's been an interesting season to start off. We couldn't keep track of every school taking turns at number one, and then the cream started to rise.
Yeah, you know, Tennessee's an interesting story, Paul. I've had, as you can imagine, I've been doing interviews about them all year, but they have more storylines than I think any college baseball team that I can remember.
Right.
You've got a coach that's off the cuff, and he's charismatic, and he's young, and he's doesn't really care what you think. You got a lineup that's got a bunch of kids that are going to play in the big leagues. You got a pitching staff that has the best ERA, and it's not even close. And then you've got this other guy that is the hardest thrower, like, in the world. I mean, Ben Joyce is the hardest thrower on earth. And he's not just doing it now in midweek games, which they kind of brought him along slowly, but he pitched last Sunday against Auburn, did 4 scoreless innings, and threw 28 pitches at 103 or harder over a 4-inning span. So he's now become a national headline, and you had Major League Baseball talking about it. And so you put that on top of what was already a tremendous ball club, and this Tennessee team is just, they're kind of must-see TV.
Well, we'll be seeing them in a few minutes,
yeah.
And you'll be here all weekend to talk about it. Chris, thanks so much.
Yeah, my pleasure.
What a great conversation. Chris Burke joining us, and we are heading to the break. A few minutes remaining right here.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
Legend is up next.
What's going on, my friend?
Legend.
Hey, Paul. I was just reading where Kentucky offered Jordan Addison $800,000 at the end of the year to go to Kentucky. Have you read that?
I have not seen that, no.
Yeah, look that up. I read today that they offered Jordan Addison at the end of the football season $800,000 to come to Kentucky. I mean, come on, Kentucky. I mean, this ain't basketball. But I also read that USC has offered him $3 million. Have you read that?
I haven't. I know the story's out there, but I haven't seen all these reports yet.
Yeah, I've heard from several good sources USC's offered him $3 million. So just let me go on record right now and say, for every company that loves the University of Alabama, I know how to pass a plate around.
You can't do this.
I know how to pass a plate.
We can't allow our program to be used for recruitment purposes. You'll get a fine from the NCAA for that.
Like I give a damn if the NCAA ain't gonna find me. I wish they would find me, Paul. I wish they would. We need to pass the damn offering plate. Alabama Power, all these big car companies. Come on, put something in the plate, baby. I got a 50 in it right now. We need friggin' Jordan Addison.
And Legend, can you imagine Saban calling up these guys and saying, "Did you see our wide receivers in the national championship game after Williamson went down? We need your help."
Hell yeah. Come on. All these clothing companies that sell Alabama products, let's pass the plate, baby. Let's pass the plate. Hell yeah. Let's get up 3.5, because I know Jordan Addison wants to play with a great quarterback, and you don't think he ain't out there in California talking to Bryce Young, talking about, "Damn, dude, we would be bad together in the SEC, man." So, I mean, come on, companies. Let's get it up, man. Let's get it up. Don't you agree, Paul, that Saban just need to stop fighting this thing and just start promoting it and start just collecting money? Don't you think Nick Saban couldn't collect 50, 100 million from the Alabama fans?
Yeah, that's a lot of money, and I'm not saying that the zeal for Alabama football isn't high, but Legend, these guys, the people that you are going to right now for money, it's not like they haven't already given money.
Well, hell with that, Paul. Alabama Power got like $100 billion.
Come off a billion. But Legend, you got a regular, a federally regulated company there that has to figure out the nuance of it. They just can't write the check.
All right, let's get back door with a bag man then. Somebody call Auburn. And where the hell is Yellowwood? Where you at, Yellowwood? Auburn can use something all across the line. You had him up $50 for an offensive lineman. Where the hell are you?
The problem with that is if that guy would quit working to fire the coach instead of getting money to keep players so they can retain the coach, they might be better off.
Well, you know, they hired a coach called Harsh Sinful Auburn. Woo! And hey, Paul, I heard Squirrel on here yesterday talking about he got an operation.
He had, what did Squirrel have? A meniscus surgery. You know,
okay.
That's on the knee.
I thought he finally got some kahunas. And Jim, listen here, Jim. That's expensive, Squirrel, especially for a rodent, but I know your wife would appreciate it. And listen here, Jim. You not a sheep, dude. You are a nasty-ass, toothless, no-grass-eating goat. That's what you are, and everybody on this show knows it. You are a friggin' goat, dude. And let me say this about Iron Man. Me and him's had a lot of fights, and he's whooped my ass over the year, and I've gotten him. But that dude told Jim to kiss his entire ass. Woo! That is the funniest thing I ever heard. That's the crack, too, Jim. Get that tongue up in that crack, boy, because we know without a doubt you are a professional ass kisser, Jim. That's what you are, goat, a professional ass kisser. Boom! I just hit you with that Ric Flair elbow. Legend out, baby.
We're done. What a happy, positive note to end the program on. Thanks for all of your time. We'll see you tomorrow.